All right, let's dive into it. So let's talk about the economy. So some disturbing new economic numbers out today show how we may be facing the worst economic crisis since the Great Recession. A couple of key data points that we want to talk about. The first and probably the most important data point is out this afternoon. It relates to consumer spending. People are just not spending money. Because they don't have money, and the money they do have is worth less than it was a year ago. So that's not good. Here's Zero Hedge this afternoon showing just how bad it's getting for consumers who are just tapping out, saying enough is enough. I can't afford anything right now. The consumer is tapping out. Ever since inflation entered the financial system in early 2021, there has been a debate as to whether or when the higher cost of living would hit consumer spending to the point of inducing a recession. Sure, consumers can rely on savings or credit to make ends meet in the near term. However, if inflation remains elevated for a long, prolonged period, eventually it becomes too much to bear, and the consumer is forced to tap out and cut discretionary expenses. That's when a recession hits. So, people are tapping out.
Yes, and we see this right ahead of the holiday season. And when you look at last week, we saw so many third quarter reports of all of the major companies. None of them were stellar. And so a lot of these companies are really banking on a big Q4, and it looks like they may not get it. And they've already warned us that layoffs are coming, which means those could be exacerbated by this news.
Yeah, it's crazy. So let's talk about oil and gas prices, because this is another big piece of this, right? So you might have noticed a nice dollar per barrel drop recently. You might have been like, oh, really excited about this right after the midterm election. Like, timing is interesting on that too, isn't it? Like, why suddenly drop 10 bucks? Well, the holiday is over and they are set to skyrocket. You have OPEC Plus just rebutting a rumor that oil production was about to take off. I don't know where this rumor started, but people got excited about this. Brent crude falling below $85 for the first time since the end of September, as Saudi Arabia and other OPEC countries were reported to be discussing an output increase. Okay, they were reportedly talking about an output increase. But that's, OPEC says, no, sorry, that's not true. That's a total lie. I don't know where the media, and the media ran with this story, by the way. Energy reporter Amina Bakar says that's a lie. Saudi Energy Minister Prince Abdulaziz bin Al Salman categorically denies recent reports that Saudi Arabia is discussing with other OPEC producers an output increase of $500,000 per day, barrels per day. So no, that's not happening.
This is the same prince where we showed you him speaking to a Reuters reporter, remember, about a month ago at an OPEC meeting and saying, right, I don't want to talk to Reuters. You keep misquoting me and I'm tired of it. And so this is him again saying, I don't know where this comes from. Just listen to what I say because I'm not parsing words. That guy, he's so tired of clarifying himself.
Yeah, that's true. And worse, is that these prices are set to explode because Russia just this afternoon said under no circumstances would it sell oil to nations that set a price cap on their oil. Here's looking at you, Europe, and the United States with your ridiculous Russian sanctions. Remember, this is the exact same scenario that we covered on the show a month ago where JP Morgan says that if the United States and Europe put price caps on Russian oil, it will send prices over $200 a barrel, which means skyrocketing gas and petrol prices, right? So what are the prices? I'm just curious, what are the prices where people live right now? Like, let us know in the chat, how much are you paying for oil prices or for gas prices right now? What about you, David? What are you guys paying out where you guys live? You're in in Alaska.
I'm in Washington. Yeah, I'm in Washington State. We can see Alaska from here, but I'm in Washington State, and we're paying about $4.60 still, $4.65, I believe, was the last time I was at the gas station.
What are we seeing here right now?
It's high. It's like almost $2.10 a liter.
Yeah.
Where it has been fluctuating down in some of the better days, down to maybe $1.70. So it's really jumping around a lot. It really depends on the day.
DS277 says TV dinners where that person is from are now went from $2.99 to $4.99. Savannah in Rumble at Savannah in Rumble says $4.20 in Pennsylvania. Terry Britton says $3.25 in North Carolina. Joe Martinez.
Yeah, in Finland also they're saying $2.20 a liter for diesel, so around the same prices as we're paying here. In Portugal, it's a lot. $179 a liter in Belfast. That's, I mean, those are on the lower end now. So
that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Spain, South Spain, $177 to $2 a euro approximately per liter.
Yeah.
Someone says liters mean nothing to me. I know. I can't
it takes some while. It yeah. takes some time to get used to
I'm
that.
Still stuck on inches and centimeters, even though we live in Europe.
Well, so it's about 4 liters to the gallon, close to that. So I guess if we quadrupled that, that'd be close to six dollars. Euros a gallon.
Wow. So Turkish President Erdogan said this afternoon that Europe is going to pay a very high price for isolating Russia. Yeah, you think? You're watching it in action right now. So take a look at some of these prices. Anti-Russian sanctions have become a decisive factor. Up the previous slide. 34.5% industrial inflation in Germany in October. Anti-Russian sanctions have become a divisive factor in high industrial inflation. Price increases, gas prices up 151.2%. Electricity 131.7%. Fertilizer, fuel oil, petroleum products. That is crazy. Fertilizer. Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens when you take fertilizer away. You force out farmers, right? And of course,
think about that. Think about the butterfly effect of that. The fertilizer goes up. The gas prices is up for the people that are going to be delivering food that grows in that fertilizer. The cost for the seeds that they're buying, the seeds to put in that fertilizer are up, which means that you're getting more and more. Like, it's going to be outrageously expensive to get anything because that touches every part of our food system.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You're so right.
It's crazy. And then look at think about how all this is playing out. According to Russian Business News, India and China are buying oil with a 30% discount right now. They're getting a great discount because they're not putting in crazy sanctions. So this is Russian. This is in Russian, what you're seeing on your screen here. I just wanted to show any of our viewers who can read Russian. You can take a moment and read it. For those of you that can't, here's the translated version. So according to Reuters estimates, India has been buying Russian coal for an average of $16.5 million a day for the past 3 weeks. This is more than twice its daily volume of purchases. And if we skip down to the bottom paragraph, this is more than three times more they spent than before that. $31.6 million daily, according to Reuters. Offshore divisions of Russian coal traders and are offered discounts of 25% to 30% on raw materials to India and China. So they're getting good deals while the rest of the world right now is getting screwed because of Russian sanctions. So, hey, they made good deals with, pays, I guess, to be a part of the BRICS nations right now.
Yeah. And this is the price you pay if you decide to be involved in a country that likes to get involved in wars.
It's crazy. If you subscribe to the channel, your name will pop up here on the big screen, by the way.
Know what I noticed today? That one petroleum-based product that has not gone up in prices is, you remember we were at the store and I went looking for the Vaseline?
Vaseline.
Yeah, and I was like, this is probably going to be so expensive because it is a byproduct of fossil fuels.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't, it was like $1.99 for a little tub. And I was like,
you
okay.
You know why? They probably have warehouses all over the world just completely stacked to the gill in that stuff because it's just good for so many things. So somebody thought ahead and it's like, there's a shelf life is forever. So let's just stock it.
It's like Latin women everywhere putting it on their hands at feet at night.
I love every time when I was growing up, I'd get a cut or a bruise. I put on Vaseline and boom, it was like gone.
I've never used it as a curative.
Oh my gosh. It was you know what I couldn't stand? I know this is going to make me sound like a weakling, but I hate it. It's like one of those like little pet peeves. I hate when I get like a hangnail. I know this is like, but I don't know. It'd be dry and you get the blood and rip, and I hate that. So what the best cure? A little Vaseline on there.
Okay.
A little Vaseline takes it right away. You don't even feel it anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Does anyone else with me, or am I the only one here?
I'm gonna do that because I got one right now. Like, if you go to my full shot, Kevin, right here on my thumb.
Oh, that's
got one.
Ah, I couldn't handle
those
that.
Those are manly.
Yeah.
You must have gotten those from twisting in your microphones and things.
Yeah. Right. from playing your Nintendo Switch, you must have gotten
it's the dry season.
Upside down.
Right, right.
I make no apologies for liking to have some extra Vaseline, to put on my hands and feet. So, yeah.
And all those adolescent boys out there, Yeah.
Don't make gross jokes.
Terry Britton says Clayton is such a baby. I'm with you. I know it's not like that. It's painful, but it's one little pet peeve. I also hate having like the nail broken off where it gets caught on cotton.
Nobody likes that.
Like, oh, it's like nails on a chalkboard for me. I can't handle it.
You know, your haircut looks like Bob Saget a little bit.
Bob Saget. You know, I didn't really, after the haircut, you know, when they cut it and then they do the thing. And then I'm like, I didn't really do much with it like how I normally would.
It looks good, though. There's a lot of body in it still.
It's a little high and tight. Anyway, no, there's no Vaseline in my hair, by the way. So, yeah, that's the deal. If you're a BRICS Nation members right now, you're getting good deals with Russia, and the United States and Europe are getting screwed big time. And then you have Out of Touch White House, which told us right before the midterms that we would eliminate fossil fuels and stop drilling. Right, this was what President Biden promised when he was in New York. He's like, we're not drilling anymore. No,
that's why I'm stocking up on the Vaseline. I'm telling you.
Meanwhile, this is going to be the most expensive Thanksgiving ever in the history of the United States. That's not hyperbolic. Literally, the most expensive Thanksgiving in U.S. history is about to unfold this week. President Biden, of course, you know, doing his little annual turkey trot out there.
Was that someone's dog or the turkey?
I don't know if it was a turkey or a dog. I don't know. But anyway,
that was the dog.
They do these ridiculous turkey pardon garbage, you know, and the little dog and pony show thing and whatever. They're pardoning the two turkeys. They go live in a farm in upstate New York and whatever.
Where do they get that big white turkey?
I don't know.
Anyway, genetically bred turkey.
So 1 in 3 Americans now say they are not going to celebrate Thanksgiving dinner because they can't afford to. 1 in 3 Americans say they're not going to do that. They just can't afford it right now.
Well, that's...
And no wonder you've seen all these Black Friday deals. They're not just Black Friday. They're Black 2 weeks.
Yes.
Like, it's been Black Friday now for 2 weeks. I don't know where you are. Even though it's Monday, it's Black Friday somewhere. Because all of these sales, they want to extend them as much as they can right now to kind of capture as much flies in the ointment in the petroleum jelly as they can.
We can go on all night on this, you guys.
And with Vaseline, you can. So here's our friend Peter Ducey to explain. He was at the White House, and he was explaining how these prices have gone up. Watch this.
Yes, they're going to have the big turkey pardoning here in about 15 minutes, Sandra. And ahead of that, we can look at how much the rest of the turkeys, except the two that are going to be spared, are costing. And there's just no way to avoid paying significantly more if you're buying the staples for Thanksgiving. A 16-pound turkey is going for $28.96. That is up 21% from last year. A 14-ounce bag of cube stuffing mix is $3.88. That is up 69%. And two frozen pie crusts are going for $3.68. That is up 26%. According to the Farm Bureau, all those arrows are pointing up. But President Biden keeps insisting that things are coming down.
Yeah, and at the White House press briefings, they're fine. Things are coming down.
Can I just give you a little tip? Because that cubed stuffing mix, you can do yourself. Just buy a really cheap loaf of bread, cut it up, and leave
celery,
it out for a day.
Chicken stock.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to put all the stuff you normally put in it, you know, with your family. Please don't put cranberries. That's super offensive. Stuffing. But yeah, if you should not be paying $4 for a box of stovetop stuffing when you can just get a loaf of bread.
And I did try. I took the feather and put it in the Instant Pot.
Didn't work.
No,
you didn't get a turkey?
Did not work.
Oh, man.
Sorry about that.
I ended up with a wet, soggy, nasty feather.
You did it wrong. So
compost that.
You're doing it wrong.
I must have.
Yeah. So here's the Farm Bureau numbers. This is from the Farm Bureau. Here, just look at the total numbers. Up 20% compared to 2021. Turkey up, you know, 16-pound turkey. $28.
Whoa, someone in the chat just said 57 for their turkey.
Holy smoke. Look at cranberries. Look at this. Sweet potatoes. Carrots and celery. Dinner rolls. Whipping cream, $2.24. Whole milk. Look at that. $3.84. Pumpkin pie mix.
Whoa.
Look at that. Pumpkin
$4.28 for one can?
I mean, this is why so many people are saying that they just can't afford to do it right now. I don't blame them. It's ridiculous.
I eat a little bit more. Like, I like free range and stuff like that. Like, the turkey that I was looking at was $129. And my milk, my raw milk, is $14.65 a gallon.
Wow.
We're reading a book right now called Apocalypse Never by Michael Schellenberger. And one of the things, there's a whole big chapter about free range and how you might be getting scammed. It might not be as healthy as you actually think it is.
Oh my gosh, this book! I spent so much time like turning my nose up at farm-raised salmon before this book, and I was like, all this time, so many times I would go to Trader Joe's and be like, they don't have it. I'm gonna go to Whole Foods then. Like, what a dope I was.
Yeah,
I know. It's so funny. I woke up like in 2012. There was a restaurant called a BurgerFi, I believe it was, and it said we have grass-fed meat. And I was like, oh, that's good. I want to eat grass-fed meat. And so it said all vegetarian diet. So what I found out is they say these words and it doesn't really mean what they said, because what they were saying is it's grass-fed, but then when it goes to the mill to be processed, they feed it genetically modified corn and all that other stuff. So they can technically say vegetarian-fed. So they have all of these little marketing tactics that they do. And that's a thing that's not really regulated either, what they can say on a lot of this stuff where it's saying all natural and all that. That really doesn't mean what anybody thinks it does.
Right. And so some of the ways that they treat the animals, if they're not free range, might be preferable, but we just are not allowed to know these types of things. And it's really eye opening, especially when you think, well, I really fell for all of that. Everything I read and I was told, like, okay, only grass fed. Okay, I'll do that. Right. And so anyway.
So then there's also the issue of the credit card debt. So now look at this numbers. These numbers are just staggering here. This is the personal savings versus credit card debt, which is skyrocketing right now. So, you know, and the people can try to spin this. So that red line is credit card debt versus personal savings rate in green. So red is credit card debt, personal savings rate in green. Now people could try to spin this and say, well, right now, you know, people are maybe trying to take advantage of the airline points. I saw somebody on Twitter saying that earlier today, like, well, it just could be, you know, it's somebody, just, people just be taking care of the, you know, the cash back options right now, the airline points.
What?
So they're putting all of their expenses on credit cards. How many people believe that? Raise your hand, say yes or no in the chat right now. Do you believe that? That everyone just decided, yeah, we're going to take advantage of these cash back bonus points. So that's why we're running up credit card debt. I don't for a second believe that's the case. I believe people can't afford stuff. This is what I went through when I was in my 20s. I couldn't afford anything, so I ran up my credit card. I got in massive credit card debt and had to claw my way out of it. It took me years to do it because I wasn't making enough money. It wasn't like I wanted to take advantage of airline points.
No, it's literally that there's too much month at the end of the money.
Right.
People cannot live on the salaries that they have right now. And this chart tracks with what we were told during the pandemic, is that, oh, people, you know, saved up some money because they're not going places. They paid off credit card debt with their stimulus money. But that only lasted, you can see, when this chart intersected at just right before June of 2021.
Right.
When cost of living started to skyrocket and savings plans were being deleted. And now this, I mean, look at this. This is the biggest gap in between debt and assets that we've seen in the last decade. This is a mind-boggling chart.
I see a lot of people on Rumble saying, Kislar says nope. Stu Rumble says nope. Der Deed says LOL, nope. Scotty Adams from
what
Vermont.
What was the question?
The question is, do you believe that it's all these people just taking advantage of our credit card points? Scott Adams in Vermont says no dice. Over on YouTube, Costa Cree says no way. Nope, nope, nope. So, yeah, no, people aren't buying this. There was one person that said maybe, but I don't know about that person. Maybe.
I don't think that this is anything fun, these purchases.
No. I mean, this is why. So, you know, one of the big pieces we didn't really touch on is the coming layoffs, which that's arguably what's coming next. As we've talked about here on the show, over 50% of major Fortune 500 companies say they're in the process of layoffs after the new year. In 2023, layoffs. So after this holiday rush and after the temporary and the sort of seasonal hiring, January, February is when we're going to see massive layoffs. And we're already seeing a lot of it in Silicon Valley. We're already seeing it in Facebook, and some, we know what happened to Twitter. But there's quite a few, even Apple, Google layoffs. There's a lot of layoffs. You've been covering it in the newsletter quite a bit on some of these layoffs. So it's going to get worse. You're seeing it at Ford. You're seeing it other places as well. So not just in Silicon Valley, but in manufacturing and automobile as well.
We continue to hear warnings too. Jeff Bezos again over the weekend is saying, don't buy fun things. This is not the time for that. So,
tell us that why he just bought a massive yacht,
right?
Like his brand new yacht. Like, hey, all of you guys out there, don't buy any fun things, but I'm going to go and check on my yacht that I just ordered, making sure that they can get out of dry dock in the UK or wherever the hell it was.
That's probably business. It's not a fun thing for him.
We've got more news to get to here on this Monday. We're going to talk about the Jeffrey Epstein drama, some new big news in that. You don't want to miss that. We're also going to look at whether or not you're mentally ill. If you guys refused to get the vaccine, you could have a problem. And government has a solution for you, which includes pharmaceuticals. We'll tell you about that. But first, right now, as times are tough and you know, we all need a little extra money right now, our friends over at Moomoo are giving away up to $30,000 in free stocks, valued up to $30,000. It's their 10th anniversary. So when you open a free account with them, just go to redacted.inc/Moomoo. That's where you go. When you sign up, you'll get 15 free stocks valued up to $30,000. And you'll get a bonus because it's their 10th anniversary. They're giving away some extra money. Now, the stock market is crazy right now. So, you know, you don't trade it, in my opinion. You can do whatever you want with it. But you get these free stocks, you could just let them sit for a while in your account and then let them grow. Come back in a year or so and, you know, whatever, and watch them grow significantly. So again, you're getting some free money right now from Moomoo for just opening an account. So, and again, go to redacted.inc/Moomoo, and it depends on your country. So if you go to this link, depending on whatever country around the world you are in, they've rebuilt this link for you. Cause we would hear from people from Australia, from Japan, who wrote to us and said, oh, I clicked on the link, but it wasn't showing up in my country. Now it should all work. So now you should be good to go. No matter where you are in the world, there's going to be different tiers of bonuses and stuff based on your country and their laws. So again, go to redacted.inc/Moomoo right now. They're one of the best trading platforms out there. Clean, easy to use on a Mac, on a Windows PC, on an Android device, on an iPhone. Very, very easy to use. And you get some bonuses just for setting up your account. So check them out and celebrate their 10th anniversary. redacted.inc/Moomoo. All right, let's talk about what's going on in the vaccine world. So here's a question for you. Are you mentally ill if you refuse to get the vaccine? Well, the biopharmaceutical complex, working in lockstep with Western governments, appears ready to prescribe medication, psychiatric medication, to people that might refuse to get the vaccine. I know this sounds absolutely crazy. Let's start with Canada. During an interview at the Let Freedom Reign tour, a bunch of good interviews that came out of this tour, by the way, physician and cancer researcher, Dr. William Mackis, who's been sounding the alarm over mandatory vaccines, and he's particularly been sounding the alarm over what's been happening to doctors in his field after they've undergone mandatory jabs. Look him up. I'm not going to go into his details here, but he claimed that the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario sent out a note to doctors implying that their unvaccinated patients may be suffering from a mental illness and should be prescribed psychiatric medicine. So listen to this. Watch.
I mean, there is a definite assault against the unvaccinated, and you've talked about how even they recommend, you know, perhaps psychiatric medication or something for people that don't want to take a vaccine.
So this has come out recently out of the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario. The college sent out a letter or a memo to all the doctors in Ontario suggesting to them, now so far they're not mandating it, they're just suggesting it, that any of their unvaccinated patients, that they should consider that they have a mental problem and that they should be put on psychiatric medication. So far, it's just a suggestion, but the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario should not be making these kinds of suggestions. This is extremely unethical, and this is a very, very slippery slope. If they're suggesting that people who wish to have bodily autonomy and don't want an experimental vaccine, that there may be something mentally wrong with them, that is a very, very dangerous slippery slope that we're on.
It's unbelievable. Do you think?
It's believable. I finished a book this year called Crazy Like Us, The Globalization of the American Psyche, by a psychiatrist or psychologist named Ethan Waters. And what he did was he went around the globe and he studied different countries that had these events that the West came in with psychologists and psychiatrists to say, oh, well, here's some Paxil or whatever, Zoloft or what have you. And the West basically created mental health disorders in places like Asia that they didn't exist Jeez. Before through social contagion. For instance, in Sri Lanka, after the big tsunami, Sri Lanka has like a cultural way to deal with these kinds of tragedies. But all manner of psychologists and psychiatrists flooded this nation and came there and said, we're here to help with you process the trauma. You have trauma. You all have trauma. And started to flood this population with pharmaceuticals with no government regulation, no standardization, and no collaboration. They just went in and started giving these people pills, and they were fighting over who they would treat. They went to Japan and started to talk to other doctors about how to drum up support for treating girls for eating disorders and body dysmorphia or dysphoria. And they sort of wrote the book around how we create this and how we pass. And the Japanese government said, you can't sell this here without trials on Japanese people. And the pharmaceutical companies were like, that's ridiculous. We have trials. We had trials in America, but they went with through the FDA. And the Japanese government, they hired celebrities basically to say, like, I took this because I was sad. There's so many instances, I can't recommend this book enough, called Crazy Like Us, of the way that the pharmaceutical companies will come and find an in and say, and you know, we see it now with the pandemic, not so much around, yes, this is concerning that it has to do with the COVID vaccine, but we do see now every time the newspaper says that there is a higher incidence of depression, specifically in children, that has a suggestive effect. And psychiatrists and psychologists know this. They have always known this, that when they name a disorder, they get more of it. That's just it. That's not to say that people are not actually suffering from something or to delegitimize, but there is a social contagion. When Princess Diana came out and said that she had bulimia, the incidence of self-proclaimed bulimia skyrocketed. So these things absolutely have a social contagion. And when they talk about it in the media, they come with a drug. And so I'm really, after reading this book, I'm really wary of anytime I see something in the media saying people are more depressed, people can't sleep, kids are more depressed, because that usually opens the way for pharmaceuticals as the solution.
Well, Hagbard in our chat says, my wife, an Ontario general practitioner, is calling BS on this. Well, she can call BS on it all she likes, but here's the memo. Let's show you the actual memo that was sent out. Maybe she didn't receive it, but here it is, and we'll take a closer look. So that's the actual memo. So what I want to zero in on, of course, is the last paragraph down here. So let's zoom in on that and the next slide, which says, it's also important that physicians work with their patients to manage anxieties related to the vaccine and not enable avoidance behavior. For example, for extreme fear of needles or other cases of concern, responsible use of prescription medications and or referral to psychotherapy may be available options. Overall, physicians have a responsibility to allow their patients to be properly informed about vaccines and not have those anxieties empowered by an exemption.
Not enable what? Avoidance behavior. That's the part that makes me want to punch someone in the nose.
Yeah, so sorry, Hagbard. Calling BS on that. But hey, it's very important to be skeptical, right? This is, again, but we're showing you the actual memo. We reached out, I'll get to that in a second. We reached out to the Ontario, the College of Physicians and Surgeons at Ontario, Redacted did. We reached out to them for comment. We did not get a response. So did the Gateway Pundit, also reached out to the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario, to their media department. They have not responded. for this. So if you don't want this experimental drug, you must have mental problems. Don't give them a medical exemption. Don't give them a medical exemption. I love that in that paragraph. Don't give them a medical exemption.
Well, I'm curious about avoidance behavior because, right, again, we've talked about if someone has recently had COVID, that's a valid reason to put off any, avoid further vaccination. So what are we calling avoidance behavior? And right, then what do we empower then the government to do as a response?
Yeah, exactly. And Black Dog says being skeptical is being intelligent. We absolutely should. And so we should, we want to look at all of these stories through the lens of skepticism, right? And especially when you have, as Natalie just pointed out, all of these mainstream media, you know, newspaper publications are coming out saying all these people are depressed. All of these people have this issue. All of these people have this. Really? And then, well, what's the solution? Oh, let's get Big Pharma in there. Let's get the biopharmaceutical. I was watching the NFL yesterday. I was watching a game. And I was like, what is this ad for COVID? Why is there an ad for COVID in the middle of an NFL? I was watching the Eagles game. And suddenly, oh, it was for Pfizer. Of course. Do you have COVID? Do you know someone? It can come on slow. It can affect people in different ways, says Pfizer. And, well, you should take the, after you get COVID, you should probably, over the air, come to us at Pfizer and grab this, you know, grab this, whatever it was, the post getting it thing where you drink it, or I don't know, what's the Paxlovid?
Something like, no, I think Paxlovid is, I don't know.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's very, very difficult to find. You're getting your hands on this memo. Very, very difficult. So, again, we're waiting for a response. I would love to hear a response from them on what exactly they meant by giving people psychiatric medicines, prescriptions, or referrals to psychotherapy may be available options if they have anxieties or express serious concerns about getting a vaccine. It's exactly what they say.
And they're looking for disorders to treat. For instance, this author that I mentioned, he thinks that the, you know, PTSD had its big heyday in the last 30 years where people self-describe themselves as something, as survivors of trauma. Not that they're not survivors of trauma, but PTSD originally was called Vietnam syndrome, and it was a specific syndrome that soldiers returning from Vietnam had for very specific reasons. It was never supposed to be applied to people who were not in Vietnam. Trauma is a real thing, but not this disorder.
This specific
and
thing.
Because it became such a popular thing and psychiatrists realized that they could use this to describe certain feelings and then use it for prescriptions, that it sort of took on a life of its own. This author thinks that the next big thing we'll see will be called post-traumatic embitterment disorder, where you feel lasting embitterment over some kind of loss of a job or traumatic event or loss of a friendship or a spouse, and you can't get over it. And they are actively working to look for medication that will go with this post-traumatic embitterment disorder. So again, these things, and the media takes no responsibility for, once it covers this as a syndrome, knowing that the pharmaceuticals will swoop right up and sell you something to go with it.
Well, a lot of Canadians on the, following this story have been quick to point out the recent changes to the law. How many of you are watching right now are from Canada? Drop us a comment below and let us know that there's, of course, recent changes to your laws in Canada, where the government is moving forward with plans to allow euthanizing mentally ill patients. Mentally ill patients can, of course, send a request to be euthanized. They can ask for it. They don't even need the family to be involved. They can ask for it to be euthanized, even without family's consent. And boom, they'll take care of it. Just like the Canadian Alan Nichols, as the Associated Press reports. This is an Associated Press report. Disturbing, it says. Experts troubled by Canada's euthanasia laws. Alan Nichols, that's who you're seeing there on your screen, had a history of depression and other medical issues, but none were life-threatening. Nichols submitted a request to be euthanized, and yes, he was killed, despite concerns raised by his family and a nurse practitioner. What did he put on his application? Hearing loss. Yeah, hearing loss. And they ended his life.
You know, that, I mean, and they said that Dr. Kevorkian was unethical.
Yeah.
You know what,
yeah,
I mean? Like, at least he did it with, like, he cared about the people.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Oh, you're just hearing loss? Yeah, we'll take care of it. Okay. Canada has the most expensive are expansive, excuse me, expansive euthanasia laws, and they are expanding them in March. A number of Canadian, Canadian viewers were pointing this out, that they're expanding this in March. So it's going to get more expansive in 2023, including mental illness now, and removing the 10-day waiting period to make before making it happen. As of March 2023, mental illness will be included in the criteria for assessing medical assistance in death. It says, according to Rebel News, it can be accessed by people who choose natural death, whose natural death is not the foreseeable future. You simply must be in a state of decline that cannot be reversed in ways that you find acceptable. Fatality or terminality of a condition is not a requirement.
In ways you find acceptable, okay.
Physician-assisted suicide has received a bit of a rebranding in Canada because it sounds so harsh. So we're going to kind of remove that branding, and we're going to come up with a new name called MAID, M-A-I-D, which is medical assistance in dying. Oh, did you call the MAID? Like, it sounds so sweet. Oh, you on the MAID list? You going to get the MAID to come over? Here's an example. Madeline can't afford, and it's not, I mean, just a lot of people. Madeline can't afford to live with her illness. She may choose to die instead. So it's the pricing. Because it's so expensive, you can go on the MAID list.
Boy, that's a real...
Wait, I thought they had healthcare.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's a real testament to their healthcare system.
Yeah. For the past 20 years, the 54-year-old Vancouver woman has amassed a $40,000 in debts trying to treat a disorder and other ailments. When her money runs out, she says medically assisted death may be her only option.
Was she having to come to the United States for some kind of treatment or something? Because again, like, I thought everything was covered in their medical system.
Can all people in debt choose to die instead of...
Yeah, that's part of the plan. So if you just want to end it because you're in debt, that's the way it goes. Here's another example.
You don't have to find a bus.
Well, credit card companies.
You can get a doctor.
Credit card companies are going to be on college campuses now. They're going to be like, hey, you know, go out and get these credit cards. If you can't pay back your debt, we've got a solution for you.
Here's Alex C., and I love this website, Dying with Dignity Canada, provides us with this story. Alex C.'s story, my medical journey and struggle to access MAID. She wants to get on MAID. What motivates a person to consider medical assistance in dying? At what point did they say, I've had enough? It's just too hard. I can't do this anymore. Making the decision to request MAID is not something that happens overnight. A person doesn't wake up one morning and say, I want to exercise my legal right to death. But, you know, if I've got gut-wrenching mental anguish, or I've got other types of pain, or some sort of credit card debt, this is an opportunity. This is Canada right now.
Okay.
This is Canada. But it's not just in Canada. And a lot of our viewers here in our chat right now are pointing out, a lot of our Canadian viewers are pointing out the number of doctors that have just dropped dead in Canada. It's been bad. I mean, they're zeroing in on like 100, I think. I think the number right now is at 93, which is really, really troubling. Anyway, in Switzerland, Swiss cardiologist Dr. Thomas Binder describes his experience in a mental health facility. When he was placed there for speaking the truth about COVID-19. As a condition of his release.
Yes, they could not arrest me because I did nothing wrong. They realized this after 1 hour. There was no threat of anybody. And I was not armed, and I had no psychiatric history, of course. All these allegations of these labeler were wrong. And so they couldn't arrest me. So obviously they tried something else, and they didn't know how to deal with me. So they put me into closed psychiatry. But then they gave me the opportunity to decide. Either you stay here in the psychiatric hospital for 6 weeks to have treated this mania, or you can leave and go home and continue to work, but you must take a medication. And I was forced to take a neuroleptic. And whether I took it or not was weekly controlled by a blood check.
What?
So these are really Soviet-style, GDR-style psychiatric methods.
This is outrageous. So this is Switzerland. For everybody listening right now, I want you to all know that this is happening in Switzerland, and you were forced to take a psychiatric medication because you spoke out against COVID-19 restrictions and measures. Am I right?
Yes. But of course, these, as I said, the corona insane other side decided I must be corona insane. So from their point of view, this was, of course, correct. But from my point of view, this was completely wrong. Yeah, this was sweet.
I heard a word this week from Vivek Ramaswamy. He says COVIDism is this new belief that the government was right. We all should have taken our vaccines. No complaining about masks, no complaining about lockdowns. What we did was right. What we went through was justified, and it's still not over. That's COVIDism. And I don't even have to explain it to you for you to know if I just say, like, the left is obsessed with COVIDism.
Right.
Yes. Liberals should not be, because it's so anti-liberal, but the left and the liberal camps are so, like, intertwined these days, you can't see the difference.
Right.
Right, this is COVIDism to the extreme.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And, you know, we're going to hear more stories like this coming out because you're going to start to hear this. I'm sure you're going to start to hear some of this as it relates to, like, the military. Anyway, we're going to hear more stories like this. So it's amazing. And if you have any stories like this, please share them with us. If you've been told that you are crazy or that you have to take some sort of medication because
of your
anxiety. But
it's a beautiful new market for them, right? This,
right.
Like, anti-COVIDism. Then you need hear pill. And I would like to clarify for anyone who thought that I was saying PTSD is not real. Of course it is. People's trauma is real. But to go to some place like Sri Lanka and say, you just experienced this, you're going to have trauma, here's some medication, when they have cultural structures in place to deal with tragedy and always have had in these small villages, they never needed medication before.
They don't need Pfizer popping
so
in there.
For us to say, this is what you have is PTSD, we have a whole book about it, right? When PTSD was supposed to be unique to Vietnam survivors, and it morphed. So if you are someone or someone in your family feels like you're suffering from it, I am not telling you you're not. I am saying your trauma is real, but you have to look at the history of this illness to see that the pharmaceutical companies were chomping at the bit to expand it, and the media takes no responsibility right. In telling people what their neuroses are, because knowing that there's a pharmaceutical company waiting in the wings.
Right, because they're all paid by these pharmaceutical companies. You know, every one of their news segments is brought to you by Pfizer, Moderna, et cetera, et cetera. So, of course, they're not going to tell you the truth on that. We've got more news to get to here on your Monday. We're going to talk about woke businesses and Disney. You might have noticed some big shuffling at Disney, and there's a lot of happening too in the oil and gas industry. Going woke or going broke? We'll talk about that, and we're also going to look at Jeffrey Epstein, some bombshell news in the Jeffrey Epstein story. But first.
Okay, we would like to tell you about our friends over at MedCline, and this is something that Clayton and I use every night. This is something that will help you sleep better. Now, I know you're interested in that. If you have suffered with acid reflux, or you're someone who suffers with the position of which way you're going to sleep, you need this. This is an incline wedge with a hole in it for your shoulder. Now, I had been sleeping, I've sleep on my side, and I have never given up my maternity pillow that I've used for the last 12 years because I like to have something between my knees. So I was making a makeshift version of this, and then when it showed up, I was like, this is exactly what I wanted, because your body weight will make your shoulder fall asleep and it hurts, and then it wakes you up.
My shoulder pain is gone now.
Right. And so because there's this like wedge with a little space, you can either hold underneath or you can let your arm out flat, and then you never put your body weight down and pinch your nerves to sleep, which is painful. And you stay to the side. Plus it comes with that maternity pillow I've told you about. Anyone who's ever been pregnant and used a maternity pillow knows you can't go back. There's no going back from that. I could never give that up. And this is the best of those worlds. So whether you suffer from painful nighttime acid reflux, shoulder pain, or both, the MedCline patented pillow system is designed to cushion your body in a sleeping position that is supremely comfortable, doctor recommended, and clinically proven to provide effective natural acid reflux or shoulder pain relief and a better night's sleep. In fact, 95% of patients reported an overall improvement in sleep quality when using MedCline. David is one of them. He says he doesn't usually sleep through the night. And he did when he got his Medcline just last week. So we're going to ask you to give it a try. What have you got to lose? Now you can get 20% off when you go to medcline.com/redacted. Again, get 20% off and a better night's sleep today at medcline.com/redacted. And you know what else I like? It creates like a little, like a chamber just for me. And at night, Grover tries to usually, like, our dog tries to furrow in and get to Clayton. And then he, like, pushes me away. And then I'm in my little, like, you know, little chamber. And I can't get pushed and scratched. And it's wonderful.
So you're protected now.
I'm protected now.
From our dog.
Yeah.
I created a hybrid. I took my regular feather pillow that I absolutely love. And I tuck it down in there now. So I, like, wrap my arm around that. And it goes under my neck.
Yeah.
And it's like... I'm like way better. Like I've been sleeping through the night, like since I got it. So I'm happy.
It's a game changer. I know I told the CEO, I said, when you guys sent this to me, I was like, what is this thing that just showed up? This giant box.
It's huge.
But then I was like, oh my God. And the first night when I put my arm through that thing and I was like, I woke up the next morning with no shoulder pain. I was like, I am sold. And I have never gone back. One night we tried without it because we were like moving stuff around in the bed or whatever. I put it on the floor. And like halfway through the night, I'm like, nope, I need it back. So
yeah.
That is high praise. So thanks to supporting Redacted. We really appreciate it. And also thanks to all of you for subscribing. We do this show live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So if you're subscribed, turn on a little bell notification. You'll receive a notification when we are live. Hello to all of our friends over on Rumble. Hello to all of our friends on YouTube. Good to see all of you. And thank you guys so much for supporting our show.
All right. Well, Disney is getting rid of its woke CEO and going back to old faithful Bob Iger. Will we call him old faithful?
Yeah. I mean, he oversaw a massive expansion of Disney in the parks and everything.
Yes.
And it was a sad day when he was gone bye-bye and that company totally turned in a different direction.
Boy, did that guy have good timing. He was out just before the pandemic really hit the floor.
Right.
Like early 2020. So he didn't have to deal with any of this crap that has happened since. So the previous CEO, Bob Chapek, well, would we call him woke? He has been in charge during
the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a list of some of the things he's been involved in since he was in charge in early 2020. For instance, COVID vaccine mandates at Disney locations, Disney picking a fight with the state of Florida over the education bill, getting rid of parks saying welcome, boys and girls, not to mention the laundry list of movie topics that are new and important to the left, not liberals, but the left. So it seems like a lot that Chapek was heavily influenced in was things that were woke. Right?
I mean, can I go off on a second? Like, he's responsible for, I mean, because they own Marvel, right? I mean,
yeah.
He's responsible for a lot of the woke movie projects that have bombed, right, recently. Just thinking of through a couple of them, like Thor, Love and
the
Thunder.
The new Pixar.
Like, why do we need a woman Thor? Like, what? And why are you making like main Thor now like effeminate Thor? Like what the hell? Like, and then now the new Wakanda movie, which I saw, and you know, I take my son to see all the Marvel movies and everything, but like, why there were like no men in this movie? Like what? There's no men at all in this movie. There's no strong men in this movie except for like the enemy. But, And it's like we're just getting rid of men now. That's the plan in Disney. We're just going to get rid of all strong men in favor of like we need all these like women rally moments. Like girls, we're back. We're here to do
it. You're not even getting to the like you're talking like the mainstream movies. You're not even getting to the content they're putting on Disney Plus. These little shows and stuff that are just like garbage. I mean, I used to wait for Star Wars and like I would be the guy that was in the line at the theater at midnight of launch day. And now I don't even have a desire to go see any of these new films. I will not go see any new Star Wars. I won't go see any new, Marvel movies in the theater because they've just been such a disappointment because of this ideology that they're putting in these movies.
Yes. So the question is, would Bob Iger have done this? How much did he approve? You know, we had shown you over a year ago, we showed you, what were they like, seminars of Disney writers saying, oh, yes, I can put in my, LGBT bias into content because Disney lets me do it now.
We need more trans characters in this.
You know, I don't have to hide it any longer. That's not to say that under Bob Iger, you had to hide these things or be more, covert about these types of things. But Disney is obviously a marquee company where you can influence attitudes and behaviors. And instead of sort of doing this in a subtle, benevolent way, they've been very in your face about it over the last couple of years. I'm sure maybe they have the best of intentions. But Disney's third quarter earnings were a miss. The company said it has to do with Disney Plus that's tanking the earnings. But Disney World theme parks had to raise prices twice this year. So clearly they're hurting too. But is this an example of go woke, go broke? I do think that is a bit of an simplification, but there is no doubt to me and to my mind that stakeholder capitalism, it does not help a bottom line at all. So is Bob Iger a stakeholder capitalist kind of guy? He wasn't when he ran Disney between the years 2015 to 2020. Stakeholder capitalism is when a company says that it will make decisions in the best interest of everybody, planet Earth, instead of just shareholders. We've talked many times about how not only is this impossible, it is a perversion of democracy. We are all supposed to influence what happens in our society, whether we, you know, legalize certain things, whether we outlaw certain things. We should choose that through our politicians by way of vote. But when a company makes decisions about what's best for everybody, that means only people with money influence politics and policies that we live with, so then a company has more control, say, than a society of voters. Nobody should want this. Even if we like what Disney's doing, we still should not vote for them to change the world that we live in by policy. But the board at Disney is being infiltrated by activists. And the Wall Street Journal this morning reports that a lot of companies are bracing for this. They are not happy. This is due to new SEC rules that allow shareholders to vote for board members by mail or online. Previously, companies could require in-person voting, which most investors didn't bother to do. And this, of course, favored the company because they could control the fewer number of votes. But if all shareholders get a vote virtually or by mail, this could pave the way for more activists on the board. In fact, not just could, it will.
Yeah.
And in Disney, they have multiple hedge fund activist investors that have infiltrated the board. Again, why would they want this? For visibility. Because you can put so many things into the public consciousness through Disney. Right. So one such activist shareholder is Trian Fund Managers, LLP. The company bought more than $800 million worth of Disney stock earlier this month to bring their stake to just under 5%, but they want more. Trian's own site tells us that they are bullish on ESGs, which absolutely are woke stock funds with no redeemable social value other than marketing themselves to investors. They are bullshit. We should collectively agree on this.
Yes.
But this is their main platform, and these are now major stakeholders in Disney who will join the board.
I mean, we should point out that FTX, the most corrupt crypto scam, just had a higher ESG score than Exxon.
Okay.
In their governance, in who runs their company, has a higher ESG score than Exxon.
Cool.
Sam Bankman-Fried had a higher score. So ESG is a total joke. Elon Musk has called it a total joke. It is pure wokeism, right? Because all it is a grading system by these globalists who then can drive companies to do their bidding. And that's all this is.
Yes. Trian Partners, they did not want Bob Iger back. And they are sure to stir up some stuff when he puts back on the Mickey ears. We can wait for that. Trian is not the only activist shareholder at Disney. There are more, and there are bound to be more and more. And again, this means that people with money can buy their way onto corporate boards and have more power to influence policy and public life than average voters. Hope you're okay with that, because it's coming. They can lobby, right? They can make decisions, for instance, what Disney did in Florida around the parental rights bill. They had no business getting involved in that, period. But activism doesn't mean that you're benevolent. This is a concerning trend. If you call yourself an activist, you still can be a scoundrel. Corporations are concerned because they're a pain in the butt to have someone who's coming to your board meetings as an activist. We are concerned, again, because this concentration of power in the hands of corporate America. And so this quote from the Wall Street Journal from someone who advises companies on how to prepare for and respond to activists said, companies are concerned it will draw in first-time activists who think they can take advantage of the new system to threaten proxy contests to create leverage to advance their agendas. So inexperienced activists on corporate boards, that's just what we all need during a recession.
Yeah, Ian in our chat just says, ESG is stage two. Stage one was net carbon zero. ESG is like the next level of this. I think you're right about that. Yeah. And so you'll have, you know, okay, at the parks, no straws. So they, you know, no plastic straws. We can't say hello, boys and girls, like something Mickey Mouse would say. No, we can't say that anymore.
And look, I'm someone who never really was in love with the Disney princess narrative, but now we're taking these Disney princesses and we can't use that term anymore. They're heroines.
Right. And now they're all superheroes. So now all the Disney princesses, like they just can't be, they're not allowed to be beautiful. They're not allowed to be, they have to have a sword and they have to like, sit down, men, it's our turn. And like, okay, really? How's that going to work out?
You know, again, as someone who always felt like, oh, it's not really empowering for women. I don't know if I want my daughters. But my daughters find meaning in those stories and those characters. So now they're going to my daughters and saying, you're wrong for liking this. Like Ariel came out when I was a kid and like, I loved it, right? Yes, she gives up her species for a man. But, you know, people find meaning in a lot of different things. And so now there's this concentration of power on the left that's telling you that you cannot find meaning in these things, and that's where I find a problem. Not so much that I don't see the point, it's that like you're removing meaning from where people have found it before because you're pushing your own agenda, and I think that's wrong.
We've got more news to get to here on this Monday. We are going to look at the Jeffrey Epstein story because some bombshell new pieces of information out on that. We're also going to look at what CBS News pulled over the weekend as it relates to the Hunter Biden laptop story. You do not want to miss that. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Instaflex. You know, if you have joint discomfort, maybe you're, you know, on the verge of the arthritis, so you just have some pain in your overall joints, you can receive a 2-week sample of Instaflex Advance just by texting the word redacted to 42424. So, you know, if the thing with Instaflex, it'll actually really alleviate the discomfort. And you can go back doing the activities that you enjoy doing most. Maybe it's, you know, taking a walk with the dog and you have the really sore knees or maybe playing tennis or just, you know, being out and being active in the garden. My mom, who had really suffered a lot of that in her hands, being able to go out in the garden with the garden shears and do those different things. So Instaflex can really help alleviate a lot of that joint discomfort. You can try Instaflex Advanced. Again, receive a 2-week sample of Instaflex by texting the word redacted to 42424. And it restores flexibility and mobility to your knees and other painful joints with just one capsule per day. It contains a unique combination of 5 ingredients found in no other product in the world. And it targets the root of the joint soreness, stiffness, and discomfort. And it doesn't just cover up the symptoms. You can have better knees in just 1 week. Really fantastic. So it is the number one selling joint supplement at GNC. Now to get a complimentary 2-week sample of Instaflex, just try it for free and see if it works for you. Because like they said, you'll feel better within about a week. You'll have noticed your joint pain disappearing or starting to alleviate after just about a week. So you get 2 weeks for free just for trying it. And if it works for you, great. Plus, you get a free gift of Instaflex Advanced Pain Cream with its exclusive oxygenated oil for fast-acting relief from the pain of arthritis, backaches, sore muscles. Absolutely free. You can get all this for free. Text now and receive a complimentary 2-week supply of Instaflex Advanced Joint Support for men and women with 5 key ingredients to help you turn back the clock. Text the word redacted to 42424. Text redacted to 42424. Message and data rates may apply. Terms apply. Available at instaflex.com/terms. So our thanks to Instaflex. And thank you to all of you for subscribing to the channel. I just had someone write to me and said, how can I say, Brian, thank you, Brian, wrote to me, just emailed and said, and you can always send me an email if you'd like, clayton@redacted.inc. And Brian said, how can I support you guys so I'm not being a supporter through the overlords of Google? And I said, well, it's very simple. Just go to redacted.inc. That's our main website, not .com.inc. And right there, you can become a channel VIP if you'd like, which is just to support our channel for the price of a cup of coffee once a month. You can support independent journalism. And then also there on the left side of your screen, you have the newsletter. You can click the newsletter sign up button and become a newsletter subscriber. That's free, and that'll be delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. So you got to check that out. Redacted.inc is how you can sign up for free. For free.
All right. Well, we're starting to know more people who were associated with Jeffrey Epstein and his ring of naughtiness. Not necessarily all the ones we were hoping to know, but a judge ruled that we can know some people. And it's a start. This comes from a case that started the fall of Epstein and his partner, G was her first, you know, YouTube protects the use of her name. They guard it really strangely. So we have to be careful when we say it. She's the one who was sentenced to prison recently for being his fixer, I guess we'll call her.
His arranger. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to call her G-Max. Okay. You know who we're talking about now. The case involved Virginia Roberts Gouffre.
Yeah.
She is the woman who, you know, really is responsible for his downfall. When so many people had tried to sue him in the past or go to the government for help in the past, she was one of the few who was able to break through because she launched her own civil suit. She sued Epstein and G-Max for defamation. She had claimed that Epstein had abused her and that G-Max had facilitated said abuse and trafficked her to Prince Andrew. And in this case, G-Max called her a liar. So she sued both her and Epstein for defamation. And she came to this case loaded for bear. She had names. She had pictures. She had proof. This photo here with Prince Andrew was one that we learned from this case. This is her and Fallen from Grace, Royal Highness Prince Andrew. Now, the suit Gouffre brought against Maxwell was settled in 2017, but as Business Insider put it, this case has enjoyed a long afterlife, and the litigation around it is so unusual and complex that the docket runs to more than 1,200 entries. 9 interested parties and interveners have inserted themselves into the case over the years, including the government of the U.S. Virgin Isles. So this means that because of this case, a ton of people got lawyered up and inserted themselves to protect themselves from being associated with it. A bunch of people filed briefs and said, please redact my name. Please don't mention me. That's interesting. Don't you think? I think we can and have drawn our own conclusions around this for a long time. Well, the media asked for those names for obvious reasons. And the judge, Loretta Preska, ruled on what could be unsealed over the weekend. This is the judge, Loretta Preska, and this case was filed in the Manhattan U.S. District Court. She ruled, this is really interesting, that public interest outweighs the privacy rights of the 8 John Does named in the documents. Does referred to as like 12, 28, 97, whatever. So what is the public interest in us knowing this? This is really interesting. I want to circle back around to this question in a bit. One of those does is Tom Pritzker, a billionaire executive chairman of Hyatt Hotels. He had been fighting for his name to be kept sealed, and obviously he lost, because now we know. I know and you know. He's from the famous Pritzker family, but they're not that famous. This is the thing. This Pritzker name keeps coming up recently, and I'm interested in it because they are powerful, unelected people, except for J.B. Pritzker. He is the governor of Illinois. But besides that, a lot of the Pritzkers operate in the shadows with a lot of money. Another very influential Pritzker that activates my spidey sense when I hear this last name is Jennifer Pritzker, born James Pritzker, one of the most, I want to say, wealthy transgender people in America, one of the wealthiest transgender donors, as James Pritzker retired as a lieutenant colonel from the Illinois Army National Guard, and in 2001 was made an honorary Illinois colonel. As Jennifer, this Pritzker is the founder of the Tawani Foundation, which gives millions to transgender causes through charitable donations. I've mentioned many times a woman named Jennifer Bielek who follows the money of the Pritzkers and what she thinks, what she surmises is the end goal. I'm not comfortable sharing it with you, but I am comfortable saying seek it out. The Epstein connection, though, is not one that the Pritzker family will take lightly. They have so much money, and they will, I'm sure, keep fighting to suppress this any further.
So what do we know about this? What, I mean, the names on the list.
It's one of the John Does, clearly not one of the victims, associated. There are so many documents, we're still sort of
pouring through them. Yeah.
Yeah. But these are the people. And again, I'm not saying that all the Pritzkers had anything to do with it. I'm saying that my spidey sense goes up when I hear the Pritzkers for very specific reasons. Another individual named in the documents is Emmy Taylor. She's a former personal assistant to Maxwell. She was also accused of contributing Epstein's victims. And she says she didn't do that, but a lot of people have sort of said, and including Gouffre, said that she was complicit in these things. The rest were that we know right now were the named individuals were victims. And so I'm choosing to not further bring their names into this. But again, so now I want to circle back to this question. Who else is missing? Who are all the other does? Who else is still fighting those unsealing? Who else has any kind of interest? Who are the, and what is the public interest of us knowing this? Why are we better off knowing, why choose one guy who is a board member of Hyatt? Is it let's feed them the lowest hanging fruit kind of thing? Let's just give them, Yeah. It'll only ruin his life. Whereas if we did see, a big fish, then... I don't know, though. The Pritzker family, it gives me a very cabal vibes.
Blue Panda in our chat says, let them all be shown.
Yes, I agree. Absolutely, I agree. We've been asking for that for a long time. So we're wondering, this David, guy is a David, human shield said, for who?
David, they said you're muted. We can hear you, but I guess apparently people in the chat can't hear you. Someone's messing with the feed. The countdown timer went up and you're
Yes,
you're
the muted. Fall guy, Complex Cat says this. He was the fall guy. We got something, We can make connections to other politicians and things with this guy. So, okay. But are we pacified with this? No.
Yeah.
And there will be, this is not a final, because some of these people were, a few of them, it was ruled they'll be unsealed and she's waiting for their motions against that. So she may change her mind so that there are some does out there who this is their fighting last chance. Otherwise, we'll know soon.
Right. Hey, how many more? I mean, you said there's 1,700 people on this list?
There were, no. Let me refer back to my notes. There were more than 1,200 entries and 9 interest in parties and interveners. But that was an old number. I think that there are much more than 9 now. If we know 8,
yeah.
I'm sure there are much, much more than 9.
So strange. I mean,
It's a gross story.
I'm going to be sitting down with Whitney Webb tomorrow. I'm going to be asking her about this story because it's just, she's, of course, and she's being censored. She was recently on the Glenn Beck show, but there's been others. She's done interviews in the past that's been censored. I've been talking to her since the early summer when she sent me her book that she was working on. And this is, of course, a story that the left doesn't want to get out. They absolutely do not want to get this story out. And there's a reason why it's always buried.
Yeah.
And this was not given a level of coverage that it should have been. So many questions about
well,
this.
Well, I'd say this is probably a bipartisan don't want it out.
This is
one area that they're like all on board. Yeah, no, I might be on there too. I remember that one time at band camp.
Yeah.
We can unequivocally say that none of us on this screen right now were invited to Epstein parties. So you heard it here first.
No, we've never been to Epstein Island. We've never been in Epstein Island. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. No, I mean, it's weird. We lived in New York City and we probably walked by the Upper East Side where his house was. You know, you wouldn't have even known like the nondescript.
You
like,
would not even go to the Upper East Side.
I hated it.
You hated it up there.
Yeah.
You know, the Upper East Side is known as the zip code with the most unhappiness, like the highest rated self-reporting of unhappiness.
That must be where...
That's the richest.
That must be where Bill O'Reilly lives.
Maybe. But Clayton hated it. We lived on the Upper West Side, and I was like, oh, do you want to try this? And he was like, no.
No, I don't want to go over there.
Cross the park.
Going over there. Epstein Park. No. I didn't know anything about him at the time. That's the other part of this. It's like, how much of that story, with his original arrest, like all his original, everything he went through originally, like that was suppressed and hidden?
Yeah, I think it was 2008, 2009 was his original indictment, which was, when we were there.
And still didn't stop him from, it's like Sam Bankman-Fried, you know, it doesn't matter. They'd still, you know, share billions of dollars around people. It doesn't even matter.
Does it hurt your feelings that we were never invited to anything cool like that?
In
it
hindsight,
does not hurt mine.
In hindsight, no, I'm thrilled that I was never invited to anything to do with that guy.
Same.
Yeah, I'm glad there's no photos of me in the same room as Bill Gates. Like I don't think I ever met Bill Gates. Like Steve Ballmer was CEO when I was covering Microsoft, right?
Oh, I've been in the same room as Bill Gates at RSA security conferences.
Take a shower after that. We've got more news to get to. We're going to cover what's going on with CBS News because this is funny. You don't want to miss this. And the Hunter Biden laptop story, we'll get there in a second. But first, Established Titles, our friends at Established Titles, have a huge Black Friday sale going on right now. So, and if you use the code REDACTED10 at checkout, you're going to save a boatload of money. It's like $40 to get this gift for someone. And I heard from Connie wrote to me and said that she just bought this for her son. He's going to love it. It's a great gift. Established Titles is a project based on a historic Scottish custom where landowners are referred to as lords and ladies when you buy as little as 1 square foot of dedicated land. Play the Scottish music, maestro. So with this proclamation right here in my hand, I am now officially a lord. That's right. We're building a redacted kingdom in Scotland right now, and I want you to all to call me Lord. With that proclamation, you can actually even change your name on your credit cards. You can change it on your ID. You can be technically a Lord or a Lady. Because under Scottish custom, even if you just buy 1 square foot of land, you become a land owner in Scotland. And you get the privilege of getting that new title. And they will send you a proclamation with your plot number, your exact location of the plot of land, and you can go visit it. And we are planning to do a little party there in July when I go to Scotland to see my plot of land. And the first 200 people that buy Established Titles along with us right now, you're going to be buying land that'll literally be right next to mine. So we're building a redacted kingdom in Scotland, in Eddleston, Scotland. You'll get a unique plot number where you can see your exact location of your land. Established Titles will also plant a tree with every order, and they work with the global charities like One Tree Planted and Trees for the Future to support reforestation growth. So right now, the first 200 people that get those Established Titles packs will be owning land right next to me. So there's a few of those left right now. So take advantage of those before the Black Friday deal. So go to establishedtitles.com/redacted10, right there on your screen. Redacted10 is the code. So establishedtitles.com/redacted10. for an additional 10% off for Black Friday. I love these guys. So much fun. So much fun. And I hope to meet you guys there in over the summer in Scotland, if you manage to get out there. Would love to meet some fellow redacted landowners in our redacted kingdom. We'll do like a cookout. We'll do like a barbecue.
Okay.
We'll do like a...
Deedly, 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 deedly.
Yeah, we'll have to. You'll have to bring your kilts. We'll do like a barbecue. Maybe we'll do like a big roast.
Okay.
We'll get our archery sets out and shoot some archery bow and arrow.
I'll read you all Burns poetry right. Do they call it poetry?
You can either hang out with me, drink some scotch, and shoot some bow and arrow, or hang out with Natalie and she'll read you some poetry.
I'm gonna be really
pissed. And I'll be really pissed because I'll look over and I'll be like, "Hey, everyone, ready to go?" And everyone will be just
Natalie's
gathered
reading
around
Burns.
Her. Everyone will just be gathered around her.
There's an episode of Friends where they have competing parties in the two apartments, and the boys' party is super fun, and Monica's party is like all, you know, like super organized and lame. And she's telling people, "Hey, everybody, you know, make sure when you put the cap on the marker, it clicks because they will dry out." And everyone's like trying to go over to the other party.
They're like, "Let's go over to Joey's house."
That what she thinks is an awesome party. That would be me.
All right. We got more news to get to here. So thank you, everyone. Well, tomorrow marks the anniversary of the JFK assassination. It's hard to believe. November 22nd, 1963, just like the September 11th attacks. Most people can remember exactly where they were the moment they heard this news. Well, just as big a news event occurred on Friday night, and I'm sure all of you will never forget where you were when you heard that CBS News was taking a break from Twitter. Because under Elon Musk's ownership, they're just not sure how safe it is anymore to be tweeting. So just at the level, just rises to the level of what we saw with the JFK assassination. Here's the moment when CBS announced that they're taking a break from tweeting. Watch.
In light of the uncertainty around Twitter and out of an abundance of caution, CBS News is pausing its activity on the social media site as it continues to monitor the platform, Major.
Jonathan Vigliotti, thank you.
Okay.
Well, what the heck does that even mean?
I mean,
as we continue to monitor the site.
When I heard that news, like I had to leave dinner. I was so shocked. I was like, I called all my relatives. Like, can you believe what just happened?
Do you know that? Remember, it was me who used to have the password to like the CBS morning show because I was like, we need to get on Twitter because I worked for the CBS morning show and I set up their morning show account and like, I eventually just gave them over the account.
Have you tested to see if the password's the same?
No, and I wouldn't even know it any longer.
It's one hilarious.
It's yeah. One. It's 1, 2, 3.
So I should have been like, "I'll take it from here."
I like pasta.
Yeah, I was actually wearing a helmet this weekend on Twitter because I was so worried.
I mean,
my helmet on. Get on the phone.
What's going to happen? I mean, they were monitoring the situation because they just didn't know how dangerous it was going to be. So they're taking a break, and they literally. Announce this on their nightly newscast? Like, who gives a rat's ass what you're doing on Twitter, CBS News? No one cares at all what you're doing.
He's standing there like he's doing war coverage. It's like that same background they use for war coverage.
Can we? I know,
except he's in the Hollywood Hills.
Can we roll that video again? I know I'm throwing you under the bus on this, but when this news broke, I almost cried. Can we? I don't know if we can roll it again here. I know it's too late now. Maybe not. So here he is. No, we don't. We don't have it. Yes, no. Yes, we don't. We don't have.
That's still dated.
Okay.
In light of the uncertainty around Twitter and out of an abundance of caution, CBS News is pausing its activity on the social media site as it continues to monitor the platform, Major.
Jonathan Vigliotti.
I'm
so glad you threw to a correspondent about that rather than say it yourself in the studio.
At least he wasn't like this.
Like what?
He wasn't like, we're sitting here and we're covering the situation because we know that it's going to be day. We're monitoring the situation. Please hold.
There's a bomb blast. We understand Major, we're getting some breaking news.
News is breaking. Oh, shoot. Somebody did tweet. I told you not to do that.
Did he just land on the moon? Wait. I think we have him. That's one small step for me. Like, who gives a rat's ass about CBS News?
Have you seen this thing that people say over and over? Like, Twitter's not an airport. You don't need to announce. announce when you're going and coming. Just stop it. Any celebrity who's doing that, knock that off. Now, it's interesting because it was in the same weekend that President Trump was reinstated to Twitter. Elon Musk launched a poll. People voted around 54% to about 49% in favor of President Trump being reinstated to the social network. So maybe they felt like they couldn't be on the same medium as Donald Trump because the media has decided he is so dangerous, which I guess means that they'll have to cede other mediums too.
I don't know.
Like radio and television.
So CBS News then came out with their tweets and all of the affiliates fell in line. Here is KPIX5 said, in light of the uncertainty around Twitter and out of an abundance of caution, CBS News Bay Area is pausing its activity on the social media site as we continue to monitor the platform. Like, who's going to be, like, what? Who's sitting around monitoring the platform? Like, I'm just checking to see.
Well, and that's
checking to see.
It's
the
like
platform.
That we're pushing the envelope thing that Conan O'Brien pointed out. They're all tweeting the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like they read a teleprompter to give you news. Now they're all tweeting the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't long because our long national nightmare is over. It didn't take long. CBS reversed course just 40 hours, not even 48 hours later with this tweet. After pausing for much of the weekend to assess the security concerns, CBS News and stations is resuming activity on Twitter. Wouldn't it be our resuming activity? CBS News and stations are resuming its activity?
Yes.
On Twitter as we continue to monitor the situation. Hey, CBS News, who's monitoring your grammar? Do you have anyone monitoring your grammar as well?
I think they can afford Grammarly.
I don't know. I think I'm correct on that. It's R.
It should be R.
It should be. And anyway,
yeah, I think it is. If they put it, they didn't have the S on the end of stations, it would be is. But they have the S on stations, meaning that's plural, which would mean R. Yeah.
Yes, so David. Good grammar. Normally, you get a golden star for the day.
Normally, the media
would
you would say
with you in Scotland night. So
and you would say the media are. Like you would say the
yes,
media
they are,
plural. Yeah, so that's what you would say. And just what kind of great journalism are we missing? What did we miss in those 40 hours? Well, this morning on CBS's morning show, they just obtained information about a laptop that might belong to the president's son. Now, this is breaking news. This is a new story. You haven't heard this anywhere before. They might have received... CBS News just received information about the president's son, a person you haven't heard before. His name is Hunter Biden. CBS News, this morning, on top of this story, on their morning show, the CBS morning show, breaking this new story that you've never heard before about Hunter Biden. Watch.
Welcome back to CBS Mornings here at 7:30. And as Republicans take control of the House, Hunter Biden, the president's son, will be a target for investigations. And that means data from a laptop reported to belong to Biden could be crucial to the investigatory process. CBS News has obtained its data not through a third party or political operative, but directly from the source who told us they provided it to the FBI under subpoena. And we commissioned an independent forensic review to determine its authenticity.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Keep this up. Hold on a second. Hunter Biden, his laptop somehow. Keep this up. Hunter Biden somehow had his laptop turned over and there's information hidden on this laptop? Hold on. I got to hear more about this.
Correspondent Catherine Harridge joins us now with what we found. Catherine, I'm very interested. Good morning.
You are now. Tony, now you're interested.
House Republican investigations are coming, and that could be a challenge for the White House as we head into 2023 and 2024. The laptop data we had analyzed showed no evidence it was faked or tampered with.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me. Hunter Biden's laptop and the materials that could implicate the president in all kinds of chicanery is authentic? I mean, this is the kind of journalism that we've been missing from CBS over the weekend.
Yeah, way to catch up.
But she didn't go as far as to say there it was no, you know, it wasn't Russian disinformation. Like, she didn't go that far.
Oh, well, come far, on.
But she's
but
wearing...
They couldn't
throw
that
warming
part
to it.
No, but she's wearing a red coat, and that's all you need to know about where this information actually came from. Mm. Can you believe this? Like, this... CBS News, like, leading off their morning show.
Pretending that it's brand new. This is another friendsism. That is brand new information.
Holy smokes. Hunter Biden's laptop. Wow. Way to go. and oh, we didn't get this through some third party political hack. We didn't get through this for somebody who just handed us this information. You know, we had it. We independently verified this. Oh, unlike what the New York Post did?
Months ago?
2 years ago?
How long do you think that story stays up?
Yeah, that's another good question.
I don't know. So, depends on how much Viagra.
Okay, well, I'm glad they're still around on Twitter to tell us to follow this up. We're really going to wait for it.
So thank you, CBS News, for keeping us informed about the world that we live in. And it was really scary few hours there over the weekend when you weren't available on Twitter providing us with this fantastic context about the world we live in.
All right. Well, that does it for us and our context of the world we live in. Thank you for welcoming us back to YouTube, where we were not last week. Thank you for sticking with us on Rumble and Twitter and wherever else you are joining us. We will be back tomorrow, and we also will be back on Wednesday, but Thursday is a Thanksgiving holiday. I will be doing Natalie Olympics, which is basically, you know, motherhood on crack. So wish me luck.
And I'll be doing...
You and Hunter?
No. And Clayton, actually, this year it's pretty exciting because it's not just football, but it's football. You get both on Thanksgiving. Yeah.
And I want to thank all of you. I know it's World Cup, you know, going on right now, but we had over on Rumble and YouTube, we had close to 30,000 people joining us, which is actually more than who've been showing up to some of the Qatari games right now in the World Cup. So... we have more people watching us right now.
In the live games?
Yeah, they've had like a lot of empty seats. And there's wonder if they've been busing in some people to like fill the seats up and stuff. And so, yeah, they do that at the Olympics and stuff as well.
That's too bad.
Not everyone can fly to Qatar, where the hotel rooms are $2,000 a night.
True.
That is true. So here's what I would encourage all of you to do is just everyone watching right now on YouTube, please, please, please just set up an account on Rumble. It's free. And it actually you sign in and it's free. It's a free speech platform. Like they don't censor anything. So we are rumble.com/redacted, rumble.com/redacted. So please at least subscribe there. We simulcast and then it's up to you how you want to watch us. Rumble is available on, the Apple TV. It's available on your iPhone. It's available on your Android device. You can watch it at Roku. So it's up to you what you like better right now, you know. But at least you'll have an account. God forbid something happens to us here on YouTube. You'll have the Rumble account, and we will always be live there no matter what. We're working with them right now on doing more stuff with Rumble. So our goal is to be able to, if we can't do certain stories here on YouTube, to always be able to provide them for you on Rumble. So we're playing with a couple of different things right now. But obviously YouTube is massive. And it allows us to get this message out free of any corporate overlords telling you what to read and understand in the mainstream media. You know, our goal here is to seek the truth. That's our goal with this show, is to seek the truth wherever it leads us and to cover the stories the mainstream media will not cover. So as long as we're allowed to be able to be on this platform and share this news with people about what's happening around the world, we will continue to do that. Like we've got a great interview with Whitney Webb coming up tomorrow here on the show. I'm very excited about that. We've got a big update on what's happening in Haiti. We're continuing to cover what's happening in Canada and New Zealand and the United States. And we get to do that here. And if we are afforded this massive platform, then we will take it for now. So much love to all of you.
Well, I want to say too that it's like kind of ironic because we don't have billionaires funding us. We have billionaires trying to silence us. And that's a big difference, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, and a lot of similar independent journalists are dealing with the same stuff right now. So, So thank you all for your support. Thank you all for subscribing here on YouTube and on Rumble. Just have them both set up so that way we
Thank you, Chris Wellney.
Yes, thank Chris.
$2 super chat. We appreciate that. So we will see you tomorrow, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you then.
4 p.m. Eastern time. Bye, everyone.